everybody. I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast, where we give you insights into post-traumatic stress, trauma recovery, healing, and beyond. I'm Dr. Deb Lind, and in each episode, I have a conversation with a guest who will stimulate your mind, touch your heart, and connect with your spirit, and also give you a greater understanding of yourself and others on this healing and recovery journey walked by so many of us before, wounded healers with lived experience and heroes. Hopefully, we'll also provide a glimpse into possibilities and purpose, hope, and inspiration. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. One last thing, guys, before we dive into today's episode, if you'd like an ad-free experience and like early access to new episodes and special events, I want to let you know you can join us at patreon.com. That is patreon.com/PTSD and beyond. All right, let's do it. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. I want to talk with everybody about a topic that I don't believe gets talked about in the depth of discovery to understand. And it's linked to imposter syndrome. See, there's a lot of conversation about imposter syndrome and even about the feeling of not being good enough, as well as the belief of not being good enough. And I think that what needs to happen is going a few layers deeper and talk about how people hold on to a feeling and even a belief of being less than. And it is not from an adult perspective of competing with others to be better, but it is instead rooted in something that happened during childhood where now an adult child carries that belief of less than. And why I'm wanting to talk about flipping it from being less than to being special is because when we're kids, we don't have the same processing of information and of thinking that we do when we're adults. But what I have noticed is that even though we're still adult, we are now adults, we've become adults, we hold on to these beliefs with a childlike mind. There's a couple things that prompted this podcast episode. I saw a couple things this week. One was something that I actually heard, and it was about a person entering their healing journey beginning at 80. And while it wasn't surprising to me, because it's not surprising to me, because what I think is, you know what? I'm glad that they decided to do this. There's still time to do this. You know, there are other people who may say, well, my gosh, you know, you're 80 now, so what about all the other years? And for me, it's if another person can enter in a journey of healing, no matter what age, at least they did. And their remaining years on this planet can be their best years ever. That's how I see it. The second thing that prompted this topic for today of being special is I saw someone and I witnessed throughout their entire conversation, it was about being more than, proving themselves constantly. And I thought to myself, you're competing. And why do you feel that you need to? Not in a judgment way, but I'm trying to understand, right? And imagine being any age, but especially as we get older, holding on to a belief that's not true. Holding on to something that someone could have, and I hate to say it, I hate to use this word, should have assured a child, assured them, because they didn't. And I say they, this adult child didn't get the assurance, and the parents didn't do the assurance. I think that's really sad, actually. I think it's really sad. And at the same time, where I feel empathy for this, you know, individual and these people who are struggling in this way, I'm not even sure with the second person if they have this awareness. I don't even know if they listen to this podcast. But again, I bring up topics because I think that it might be helpful to someone out there. And when we're kids, if we are told that we are special, and then let's just say another kid pops up, right? So let's just say, you know, now you have a sibling, and then that sibling is being told that they're special. What happens to the other sibling, the older sibling, is they have this belief that they then are not special. And unless the parents assure the older child that, no, hey, guess what? You know, you're special too. There isn't a shortage of special. Everybody's special. But if they don't do that, if the parents don't do that, then what happens is the older child doesn't like the younger child because they believe that they've taken away their specialness, that they're no longer special. I'm no longer special because of you. And what happens then is the older child tries to do things to make up for the lack of being special, the lack of specialness. What's fascinating is, again, there were, you know, no parental intervention. And if the person, you know, if these kids grew up in a narcissistic family, then the narcissist isn't going to do the intervention. The narcissistic parent's not going to make it right and, you know, say, hey, older child, actually, you know what? You are special. You've always been special. Each person is special. Everybody has your uniquenesses, which make us special. So you haven't lost your specialness. You're still special. But in a narcissistic household or with a narcissistic parent, the narcissist actually prefers that there's a division between siblings, and they create the division, they foster the division, and they needle and perpetuate that the older child feels inferior to the second child. So then what happens is jealousy erupts, competition erupts, and even hate grows toward that other sibling. And with the second sibling, there's a confusion. There's a confusion because they don't understand. Now, what happens also too is we get older, and hopefully we do, you know, get some understanding. This podcast episode has brought this understanding. And again, I want to share with people. And I do believe that it's horrible, that it is, it's horrible. And horrible in the sense of, again, not anger, but I completely feel for this person. I feel bad for that person. I feel sadness for that person because of the stuff that they missed out on. When you see someone and they're in such pain and they live a life of trying to recapture that specialness from when they were a kid and they're a grown adult, they lack an awareness that, you know what, you don't have to compete. You never had to compete. You never lost being special. You never did. You were always special. You're always special. There's a lot of specialness to go around. So Just because one other person is being told that they are special doesn't mean that you lost your being special. It doesn't take away anything. It doesn't take away from you or them. And to think so and to feel so and to believe so isn't true. You are special and you've always been special. See, the narcissist wants you and is betting on that you're going to continue believing you're not special. They're going to continue believing and they want you to believe that you're not special. And that's their own problem. But to believe something and to carry something for so many years means, yeah, when you see someone, you can see how tight they look. Because they are. They're tight. They're uptight. They try to force a smile. But it's never genuine and authentic because in the back of their mind, they're thinking about constantly one-upping and being better than. It's a conditioning that is really unfortunate. The other thing to consider is it's not too late to have this level of awareness. It's not too late to say, you know, does this make sense? What part of this makes sense? Because the lie that someone said doesn't mean that, yeah, it's nothing other than a lie. And I think that's the first level of awareness. Is it possible? Is it possible? Can I see that? Can I identify with what's being said here? Can I see it? Can I reflect back of my, I don't know, let's just say 60 years? Can I see this? Can I? And if you can, then you know that that was manipulation and it was a lie. And the other thing that I feel bad about is the lack of freedom a person feels and lived. So the lack of freedom. So if we're constantly and we're in a constant one-upping and we're in a constant competition and we're in a constant, I need to do what it takes to make sure that I feel special, that I am special, then there's a constriction there. There's a constraint. There's not a freedom. There's not a freedom. And I feel awful for that because then it's not really living, is it? What's the quality of life like? It doesn't matter how many dot, dot, dots and how many letters we have after our name. Without that sense of freedom and holding on to that, I'm not special. That means that there's a gap. There's a gap. It's like chasing a mirage. It's chasing a mirage because what was there was fabricated. It was fabricated to manipulate. It was fabricated to destroy relationships. It was deliberately and intentionally fabricated for those outcomes. And the other thing that I feel bad for is the amount of hurt a person has experienced over decades of time. So when a person sees this lie as a lie and sees its manipulation, so the manipulation's been exposed, and their inner child realizes that it was a lie, that they were always special, I believe that a lot of release will happen. I also believe that a lot of release will happen. A lot of relief will happen. And I also believe that a lot of relief will be felt. There might be some crying. There might be some anger. Anger of an unjust. Anger because I don't see truth, but you finally see what it is and not what it was. And I also think there's going to be some, I don't say disappointment, but regret. And what I don't want to have happen is shaming of yourself. Shaming of yourself. Believe me, I've done some stupid shit in my life. You know, it's not going to be helpful to shame yourself for something like that. If you have the love, if you have the awareness, be grateful that you do. Because I'm grateful that I have that awareness. And I can't say that I had that awareness before, but I do now. A lot of healing will be able to take place. And like I said before, there's no limit with special. Special is limitless, just like love. There's an abundance of it. And yet, people use it to hurt. People use it and they make this story up like it's, you know, it can get cut off and it's used, it's withheld. But that's not healthy stuff. That's not healthy relationships. Healthy relationships, you let everybody know that, yeah, you're special and I'm special. And we're special and we can be special together. Nobody loses being special because somebody else is special too. There's an endless supply. There's enough of special to go around. And it is. It is like love. It's limitless. It's abundance. There's room for life for everybody to be special. Because guess what? Everybody is special. So if somebody makes you feel like you're not special and somebody projects that you're not special because someone else is, it's kind of like that teasing when you take something away. Oh, look at this, right? And you want your dog to get uptight because, oh, you're hugging like a stuffed animal, for example. That teasing isn't cute. It's not healthy to do that because it causes animosity and it actually causes behaviors to come out. And the same is true for people. The same is true for people. We're all special. We're all special. You're special. You've always been special. And yes, I'm special too. But you have always been special. All right, you guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. I know you know if you know. And please take what resonates and go beyond.